Hello and welcome to Storytime with Carrie and Chris. Yes, it's story time because, well, actually, it could be the coffee break too because I am still sucking down the coffee. Because
I got my coffee.
Yesterday was the release of Destiny, The Taken King. And as much as we're not trying to make this a Destiny cast, I say this because Blake and I had made an agreement, 4 o'clock in the morning, let's get up because that's when the game unlocks for us and we'll start playing. 1:30 rolls around and Chris is staring at the ceiling in his bedroom going, okay, I'm wide awake. What the fuck? At 2:30, Chris gets on Destiny. Chris took all of 45 minutes off yesterday to take a shower and eat. And so I played Destiny from 2:30 until 11 o'clock, basically straight the entire day yesterday. And that's 11 p.m. So 2:30 in the morning till 11 o'clock. I am still tired. If it wasn't for the fact that I had to worry about getting the recycling out before the truck came, which hasn't come yet, I probably would have just drugged my ass out of bed and came here to do this.
I have no words. I really don't know what to say. I guess I'm kind of jealous that you're able to dedicate 9 hours your day to do nothing but play video games. I wouldn't get up that early in the morning to do it, but all right, well, I'm glad that you found a game that you love that much.
Yeah, I'm still recovering. Still recovering. And then even Blake, I mean, I was surprised. I would figure, because Blake is like one of those guys that goes to bed at fucking 2 in the morning and then gets up at 8, so I was like, there's no way in hell he's going to be online at 4. Sure as shit.
For Destiny, he probably didn't go to bed. He's able to do that. He's still young.
He said he went to bed at 12, and then he was up at midnight. And I was like, I went to bed at 11, was up at 1:30, so.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know how I did it. I really don't know how I did it. I did
direct. So were you playing? I know you were playing with Blake in the wee hours of the morning, but were you playing with friends, your brothers?
So
the rest of the time, or are you just on by yourself, just running around, going nuts?
Oh no, Blake and I finished the main story for The Taken King. So I think we finished it at like 8:20, and we started at 5 because he had to get up and patch and all that other shit. And then right after that, I switched over, started playing with one of my brothers. We both went to lunch, came back, started playing some more. And then another brother came on, and then we played some more, like, till 11 o'clock. We all played together until 8, and then I just stayed on and kept playing some more, grinding out some of the quests. So, yeah. Pretty much play with people most of the day, and then by myself all the rest of the night. So, go me.
Well, you know, again, I know I've said this, like, numerous times about Destiny, but I guess that's my big concern about ever playing Destiny is that I only want to play with friends. I'm not going to want to go hook up with some random people. I don't know, and I just don't have that much time to play with friends, so I don't know how much I'll enjoy it, because I've been told by several people that the game is not fun by yourself.
Oh, no, the game is fun by yourself. I mean, let's face it, it doesn't have Thunder Poons.
Not many games do.
I mean, Thunder Poons.
That's how you can truly appreciate a game, when it does have the Thunder Poons, because not every game has it.
You have to upgrade your car so that way you can have the Thunder Poons.
Yes.
Oh, Mad Max. So this week, we're not going to talk about Chris's lack of sleep or the fact that he took a day and just played games all day. We're going to talk about open world games, because these are...
There's a crap ton.
And they just keep coming out, and like... It became like this buzzword, 2 years ago, and everyone's like, open world, do this, and everybody, and a lot of people are getting sick of them, because open world games, let's face it, are a time sink, because usually open world games, so Infamous, open world, Crackdown,
Crackdown's an open world.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto really was kind of one of the very first open world games.
But isn't Grand Theft Auto, okay, I'm going to throw terminology out here. Isn't that considered more of a sandbox open world? Or am I wrong?
It's...
No, that's Just Cause. is a sandbox.
Yeah, because there's like you just go around doing whatever. There's, I mean, Grand Theft Auto, as far as when I hear open world, it's like you can go to an area, do some missions, but you don't have, like, you have a main storyline, and all that open worldness is because you can go over here and be like, oh, well, I can do this and I can do that and I can, you know, do whatever. It's kind of like an Infamous where, you know, you're clearing area of the bad stuff and getting all the little orbs and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the most recent one, you're doing the spray painting. So, you know, I see a lot of people saying they don't like RPGs, but there are people that I'll be like, I don't like RPGs because of the time sink, but then they'll list three open world games that they play. And I'm like, I don't, okay. So you didn't have the 40 hours to play this RPG, but you did have the 60 hours to play this open world game. So that way you could 100% it because it was so much fun to you. Why don't you just admit that you really don't like role-playing games and just call it a day?
Right. Just admit that you don't like the whole idea of, you know, the gaining experience and leveling up and, you know, upping your armor and
you'd rather
blah, blah, blah. And
jump in a car with your Thunderpoon in your fishing pole and
go. Well, you know, Mad Max actually has its RPG elements, you know, kind of, and, you know, I would consider Infamous a bit of an action RPG as well, because it had its RPG elements.
Yep. So,
which is then when you get to the distinctions of the hardcore RPG, the action RPG, the RPG like.
You know, there's so many titles, so many labels. But you know what? Let's just,
because we all have to be unique and delicate snowflakes, Chris.
No, we really don't. We just need to play video games. So, what makes open world games fun for you? Because I know that you very much enjoyed Infamous. You've mm-hmm. already 100% of that, right?
And that's, oh yeah, yeah. When I played Second Son, I 100%ed both sides.
Did you 100% the whatever the one the basically the DLC for it? Did you 100% that? The First Light, I think it was.
Oh, no, because I didn't like that game.
Yeah, I couldn't get into it either. What else have you? I know you've played Infamous on PS.
I did play the original two Infamous games. I did not 100% the first Infamous game because I did not have a good experience with that game. And that is mainly because I had never done a shooter before Infamous. So that was a rough transition. Like, I basically, that was really, I have to consider Infamous like my first introduction into the shooter genre. As much as it's not your typical shooter, it is. So I basically did enough to get by, and there was some that, yes, there were plenty of times that I would go by an area and be like, oh, hey, look at that. Yeah, I can go do all this stuff. But then I would get to a race or something, like, okay, now I'm moving on. But the first Infamous game, like, I always meant to go back and replay the whole thing, Evil, and then I never did. Now, Infamous 2, I did. And Infamous 2, I also 100%ed all of it. But I think by Infamous 2, they had also fine-tuned the combat.
Yeah, they did. They definitely kind of.
Yeah, so it was a little more fun to go through all that.
Yeah, it wasn't so much a chore like the first one was. The first one, after, I don't know, you do, like, you clear out an area or two and do all the stuff to clear out those areas, it just, you're like, okay, let's do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Eh. So besides Infamous's, and we'll get into Mad Max shortly, have you played any other open world games?
Oh yeah.
Very much enjoyed.
Dragon Age. Dragon Age is not Dragon Age 2 is limited open world. It's hard to explain that one. It's a very limited open world, but at the same time in Dragon Age 2, you can kind of go and do whatever you there is an open space to go and do whatever, whenever that you want. Not as big as Dragon Age Origins or Dragon Age Inquisition. I mean, Dragon Age Inquisition is one of those that it drops you in and you get in this map and it's like a Skyrim thing. It's like, you see the little blips and you're like, oh, fuck, I have to go here, I have to go here, I have to go here. So, like, so I haven't finished Dragon Age Inquisition because I'm like, well, I actually am at the point where I could go into the final bosses, but I'm like, but there's like three whole worlds I haven't finished exploring yet. So I must do that in order before I go there. And it's also because with Dragon Age Inquisition or the Dragon Age games, that it's an RPG. So the benefit to exploring is greater than just getting it cleared, because you know you get a chance to level up and get that experience and upgrade your armor and weapons and abilities and blah 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 blah. Let's see, what other open world? Oh, Sunset Overdrive.
Oh yeah.
That was another open world, and man, I want to go back to that game because I had to burn through it for that review, and so I couldn't do all the open world stuff. I'm like, but that side quest looks so fun, and I want to go hunt down this guy's comic books. That's hilarious, and you know, just write all the random stuff in Sunset Overdrive that I never got to complete. And The Witcher.
Yeah, The Witcher.
The Witcher 2, The Witcher 3, The Witcher 3. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm ever gonna get to The Witcher 3 in this lifetime, but The Witcher 2 was massively open world, and that was open world to the point that whatever side quests you did altered how the main story went. So that was crazy, because it was almost like the side quests, like they're side quests and they're optional, but by not doing them, the story will go this way, or if you do them, the story will go that way. And I mean, and I haven't really put another game that does that. Dragon Age kind of does, but not really. It's not the same. Mass Effect 3 did. It took in if you did side quests from before and brought them in. So I guess there's another open world game, the Mass Effect trilogy. See, because I'm playing Mad Max right now. I want to get into Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 14 is more MMO though.
Yeah, I know, but it's still pretty. I mean, it's still. Oh, I was trying to think. Yeah. Oh, Far Cry 4 was open world. I had a lot of fun in Far Cry 4. Assassin's Creed is open world. I love those. It's kind of weird. It's like any of those games where you have this area, it's like I must clear up this area. Like those open world games probably speak to me more than anything else. And also, I do need a story of some sort to hold it together, or to, you know, give me motivation to leave the open worldness and then come back. And I had that problem with Kingdoms of Amalur.
Okay.
That was very, very open world.
Yeah, that started off as a MMO, and then they didn't have the funding to basically make it and sustain that. So they were, I don't know, what, 60, 70% of the way done with the game? By the time they were like, okay, we can't do this as an MMO. So they kept all that MMO element into it, mm-hmm. and then just single playered it up and called it a day. So,
yeah. I mean, it was just one of those, it was a Skyrim thing with Kings of Amalur. Those are two examples of games that were so big, so open world, that had all this stuff, and you can do whatever the hell you wanted. And maybe it affected the story, and maybe it didn't. Because the story is kind of weak on both games to hold it all together, because basically the point of those games was just to kind of make your own game. You decide like what you're going to be, what you're going to do. You can go out and do it, do this faction, do that faction, do whatever, and maybe do the story missions along the way. There's more people that I talked to with Skyrim. I haven't really talked to anybody who's played Skyrim who's like, oh yeah, the story was amazing. They're like, no, it's really about finding different stuff to do in the middle of the open world and having all this fun doing that. And I think Amalur was that same way. And I just get bored doing that.
So what makes a good open world game to you? You said, you know, the whole going to a little area and having to do stuff there. Is it, do you like, obviously Skyrim, Kingdoms of Amalur are too big. So you like a constrained.
Yeah, at the same time, I like The Witcher, but I think the thing about The Witcher is that that's such a good story that it doesn't bother me that it's so big, because there's so much going on. I mean, I guess what I like is very formulaic. Now I'm thinking about like Far Cry and Assassin's Creed and Sunset Overdrive, you know, is open world. You got these little areas that you go from this area to this, because like the story is almost kind of like, let's introduce this area to you, and let's introduce this area to you, and let's introduce this area to you. And then you get there, it's like, oh, look at all this other stuff that I can do. And sometimes it does get, you know, tedious when it's like the same thing over and over and over again. But like for some reason in Infamous, like that never bothered me. I'd just be you running along like, oh, Blast Shard, or I forget what they were called in Infamous Second Son, but you know, it's like, oh, detour, hold on, I gotta go pick this up real quick, or you know, and I'm kind of feeling that way right now with Mad Max. We're driving along and I'll see a scarecrow totem, it's like, oh, reverse, gotta go pull that thing down. So, but what about you?
Oh man, I don't know, what was my
I know you love the shit out of Skyrim.
I did, and it's that and Fallout are both very odd games for me because they're so big and there's so much to do and see. And it's Fallout has a very good story. Like I've always enjoyed the Fallout stories. The the Skyrim stuff, yeah, I gotta agree. Like the story, I was just like, okay, whatever, fucking just get through this. Just come on, shut up, let me go, keep going. But Skyrim is, you would be just walking along and all suddenly there'd be a cave and you're like, I guess I'll go in the cave and see what the hell I find. And the next thing you know, it's like, here's some thieves and now they're at the, you know, you can talk to them, either join them or not join them, or do you kill them? Do you not kill them? And when you play like I do, it's really hard. You wait for that one moment where they piss you off so that way you have a reason to kill them. But if they don't give you that reason to kill them, you're like, oh shit. Sometimes I would burn them down, but that's, you know, Skyrim was really big. And it took I know a lot of people that have sunk multiple thousands of hours into that game and are still playing it and still finding shit to do because it's just so big. And now that they have all these mods and stuff, with that one, it's cool. Fallout's pretty much the same. And I'm really curious how they're going to work this in with Fallout 4 because now you can build your base and you got weapon crafting. So it sounds like they're taking a lot of elements that I've enjoyed. Not so much the base building, but the craft stuff that I'm really looking forward to. So I hope that pans out really well, but they've always done a pretty good job with those. I still having a hard time getting into Dragon Age. Just couldn't do it. Mass Effect didn't do it for me. And I know both of those have like great stories, and The Witcher, I kept trying to get into it. And I don't know if it was because the combat kept turning me off. What was going on with that? I never got into that one either. But like you, I've played Infamous and loved Infamous. Infamous 1, it did become kind of a chore towards the end because it just kept... It was cool because after you got your powers and all that stuff, you felt like a Johnny Badass. But there's definitely a power curve that it kind of spiked and then it flatlined. And then you're just like, okay, so I'm really strong and I'm just destroying everything. Why the hell do I need to keep going in all these sectors? Why can't I just sit from my tower, seat from my high tower, and just rule the world with my dark fire?
Light it all up.
Watch it burn to the ground, start all over.
Summon that, because I think it was in the first one, you could summon the lightning storm.
Yep.
And you use the six axis to turn it, just summon that up and just raise the city.
Infamous Second Son was a lot of fun, though, because it's like they nailed down... you know, they had all that, the camera stuff where you'd have to, where you try to hack the camera and find out where it was at to destroy it. You know, that had a really good difficulty range. So it was like, you can have a lot of fun. You'd find those things and they were just difficult enough or just challenging enough to make you kind of have to think about what you're doing, especially some of the shards that were up in different places. Mm-hmm. Or if you had to get if you wanted to get the little fly drone things. You know, they made those just difficult enough and challenging enough that if you stop to do it, you're like, okay, this is going to take me a couple minutes maybe to figure out where I need to go and how I'm going to climb up and get that. And then if you were trying to do some of the achievements, like floating in the air for, I think it was like 45 seconds.
Yeah, I never got that one. I did get that one in Infamous 2. And I finally figured out how to climb up to this tall tower, and I was able to float. I think it was like for a minute, I think, because you have to get to the highest point. But no, in Second Son, I think I got most of the trophies in Second Son. Some of them I got by accident. Like, I know I'll never get the sniping one because I'm just not that accurate in shooting, and that's just part of it.
Yeah, there was another one where it was like you had to go up, go through a vent, come out the vent, hit another vent, go up that vent, and I was like, I'm not going to try to search the city for
two. I did that one by accident, and it's when you do the final tower at the end when you're making that climb. Mm-hmm. That trophy is very easy to get there, and like I said, I did it by accident. But you do have to get the timing just right to do it.
I was just like, I'm not doing that. And then I tried the 45-second one. I thought I found a spot, and I was 40 seconds in the air, and it's like, okay, I'm not even, I'm done. And by this time, I'd done my two playthroughs, gotten both sides, so I was good with that. The first open world game that I had said that I very much enjoyed, and that would be Crackdown. And I think it was because it was just so comic booky, over the top-ish, everything. You know, there was just this very nice gradual climb. You got stronger. The game got a little more difficult, so that way you never felt overpowered. There was just enough stuff to distract. The games that I'm playing now that I would say, Forza Horizon and The Crew are pretty much both open world racing game, which has been very interesting. I think Forza nails it down a little bit better. I think it's because it's more constrained. It's a smaller area with a lot to do in it, where The Crew is it's so large. And then there's so much crap to do in one area, you just get bombarded. And with me, open world games are great when it's like Assassin's Creed gets it down pretty good. The Forza Horizon 2 got it. Infamous, obviously. And that's, we're going to build an open world game. You're going to have a fair amount of stuff to do, but it's not going to be a huge amount of stuff to do. You're not going to get to an area and be like, here's 85 things to do. Get to another area, here's another one. Oh, you forgot to do this. Oh, I need to go back and all that. Where they just kind of keep the flow. Like when you start having fun, getting interrupted, right? Like, you're having a lot of fun. You see that one thing that you want to do. You're like, oh, okay. And it just kind of works into your play path. I don't know how to describe.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you never really feel interrupted. And while yet there may be one or two other little flashy, shiny things to do, you're just like, oh, well, I can do this. And that'll be over here to take care of that. And I can come down here and take care of that. And I'll go over here and take care of that. And I'm on to the next area. Woo, I'm good.
Well, another thing I really liked about what Assassin's Creed did, and they've even done it in the most recent one, Unity, was that they would have, random events happen. So it wasn't always constantly those little blips on your map. You'd be walking by, and maybe there was a Borgia carrier who just suddenly run. Like, oh, where'd that guy come from? Or in Assassin's Creed 2, the guys that would randomly try to rob you. Or in Unity, the brawls that would break out in the middle of the street, you know, things like that. Chris, my favorite thing to do in Unity was just run around, and if I happened to see a guard and he looked at me funny, I just went and killed him and then ran off.
You know, the one thing I can say about Assassin's Creed is it's come a long way since the very first game. The first game was
I never played it.
It's like, it's the same kind of experience it was the same kind of experience where Infamous was, it was really fun. It was new, right? Like all of a sudden you're doing the parkour and you're clearing out areas. But after a while, it was just like, okay, so I'm powerful now and I can do this. And okay, why am I here? My one concern is that it's, you know, so you had that in Assassin's Creed 1, but then in Assassin's Creed 2, they brought up the whole, like, build up your
shell. Oh, your fortress. Fortress.
You know, I thought that was a pretty good addition. My fear is that, because it seems like every Assassin's Creed, they add in another little something to do, that they're going to make it become just a bit too big. Like, there's just going to be too much to do, and you're just going to get to those areas and you're going to look at the map and you're going to go,
well,
and I do like the fact that they have those filters now where you can turn stuff on and off. So you're like, I just want to focus on this and I'll do that.
Right. Well, they have said with Syndicate that with all the problems that they had with Unity, especially on the PC edition, that they really think, and probably because of, you know, Unity was their first PS4 Assassin's Creed game, that they went too big with all the things in the area and what you could do. Yeah, because one of the cool things about Unity was, like, not only could you go run across the buildings, but you could go in the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they think that it got away from them and it got too big, and they had great ambition and they just couldn't get it fine-tuned to make it, you know, perfect. So with Syndicate, they have reined that in. So I don't think, I just hope to God in Syndicate, you don't have, my big problem with Unity with like the little stuff was the treasure chests.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was like three different colors of treasure chests, and some of them you could get with the app, some you can only get in co-op, and I was like, I can't look at this anymore. There's too many colored things on my radar.
And if you have OCD, having all that stuff sitting there, and you're like, I can't do this on my own because it's not designed for this. I'm just like,
Yeah. So that's probably like my only complaint about the Assassin's Creed. So I'm hoping. I'm confident in Syndicate from what I witnessed with Syndicate. Because when I played it at E3, I did like immediately, one of the first things I did was I looked at the map to see if they even had that unlocked, if they let me look at it. And it wasn't your typical, look at all this crap. It was, you know, very much fine-tuned and.
Oh, that makes me excited.
Yeah, because the story, again, a Syndicate story is going to be really important. But they're still going to have all those open world elements. So if, you know, you want to take Jacob up and just beat people to death with the cane, which is what I want to do. It's all I want to do. Just give me the cane and smack some knees. You know, you can do that, which is probably one of the most fun things about Assassin's Creed. Because I remember my first time in Assassin's Creed 2, killing someone on a rooftop, and I just threw the body off the roof just to see what would happen. And just to watch everybody's, you know, reaction to it. Because back, you know, at that time, that was kind of mind-blowing, you know, the NPC's reactions to things. So and so many, like, you know, linear games, you don't really have that option. It's even kind of cool, like, even in the Assassin's Creed, I know that now I'm turning this into Assassin's Creed fan fest, but like in the Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, you know, if you left a body, even that would have reactions and would, you know, kind of restrict what you can do. And in some ways, that game was a little bit of open world because she had all these options of going to explore or do these little side missions, you know, and little things like that. Like, I remember starting over because one of the concubines got killed. I was like, oh, fuck no, I can do this. I can save all the women. I can save all the women folk. But anyway, so just to alleviate your fears with Assassin's Creed, I think that they have learned their lesson with Syndicate, and they're going to rein that in a little bit. Because even though as much as I like the open world games that do have, like, here's your section, go clear this out, and go clear this out, and I have the most fun doing that, because it's almost like I'm... Maybe that's why I didn't like Skyrim, because I felt like there was no purpose.
Yeah, you do. That's definitely more of a explorer to try to find your purpose, and...
That just dawned on me. Maybe that's why I didn't like that, because I didn't really have that much of a purpose.
You probably wouldn't like Fallout then either, because it's much the same way, where it's they start you out at point A, and then you just look at the world and you're like, okay, so I'm going to walk here and see what happens.
Well, I've been told by several people I'll like Fallout, even those who didn't like Skyrim. So we'll see. I think it's because the world is so different. It's not, you know, your typical fantasy world. This is, you know, post-apocalyptica and survival. But, you know, at the same time, I say that, and I'm playing Mad Max right now, and that doesn't have much of a story. And it kind of hit me that the reason why there's not much of a story is because him trying to get on in this world, this wasteland, the post-apocalyptic wasteland, is the story. And that I think that's what Fallout is too, is that's the story, is he's just trying to survive, trying to get by. Skyrim was just like, I guess I'll go wander over here. So to me, there was no, like, I don't know, overarching thing like that. But I can see, anyways, to say about, you know, the whole thing with having to clear out this section, I think that there can be too much. And I need some, there needs to be a point to it. Because my big beef with Far Cry 4, as much fun as that game was, you know, because I understood that why he was, you know, going from this area, this area, this area, and doing all the stuff was to overthrow a tyrant, you know, slowly, you know, get the rebellion going and overthrow this tyrant. So that totally made sense. But the thing that really nagged at me was some of the little stuff was like, okay, now we're just reaching for a collectible. So we got too much of that stuff. And why him? That makes no sense. Why this guy who's lived in America all his life, who's come to this country to scatter his mother's ashes, gets basically essentially kidnapped by the rebels, and they look to him to lead. What, like, he just picks up a gun and has no problem, you know, running and shooting, skinning animals. It's like, okay, that none of this is that believable to me, because why would they look to him for guidance when he's, yes, his parents started the rebellion, all right, okay, but he's been in America all of his life. He has no idea how to, you know, manage a war, a revolution, and all that. And why would he want to? Wouldn't he rather just scatter the ashes and get on the first plane back to America? Like, I'm out here, bitches. And apparently, you can do that in the first 20 minutes of the game. Because I need to try this. Like, at the very beginning, pagan men, like, he basically kidnaps your train ride, stabs this person horribly in front of you for no reason, then apologizes for getting blood on his suit, and then he's like, "Here, I'm here to help you with your mother's ashes," takes you to his little castle, and he's like, you know, you're serving you dinner. He's like, "Well, I gotta go check on this thing, but enjoy the crab rangoon." And if you sit there for 20 minutes and don't do anything, he comes back and says, "Hey, the crab rangoon, that's pretty good, right? Let's go scatter your mother's ashes." And then the game ends.
Oh,
which is kind of like the most, you know, awesome thing ever.
I do want to know who the hell's like, you know what? I am going to sit here. I'm going to wait and see what happens if I just sit here.
The only reason why I know that is because Jen Bozier's husband did that. He just wanted to see, like, what if we just sit here and wait? What would happen? Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, open world. Is it really the dirty word that a lot of people are starting to make it out to be? I don't think so. I think open world are... I still think open world games, and from what I'm hearing, at least the people that are playing Mad Max that I've actually been able to talk to, they're loving it. Yeah, the story's a little weak, but come on, not every game has a great story. Sometimes it's about the experience that you build yourself, right?
My only beef with open world games is that there just seems to be too many of them right now. It's like, it's to quote Mugatu, they're so hot right now. And it's like at E3, every single time I heard open worlds, I'm like, oh my God, I could do a drinking game based on how much I could hear.
So you're thinking
open world.
Open world is like a good Kinect. Where, you know, what? 3 years ago, it was nothing but motion controls, motion controls, oh, motion controls, motion controls.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think it's, and I think this is a knee, I say knee jerk, yet this has been going on for the last 3 years, but this has been a build up to reactions that we had, oh, I'd say early Xbox 360 era, PS3 era, where people were complaining that they were paying $60 for a game that was 6 to 10 hours long. So now developers are like, okay, so you think this is too short. So let's go overkill and give you this game that's 200 hours. And like I've said this for like a long time, like, you know, yes, Final Fantasy VII could be about 100 hours depending on how much you put into it. But back then, you had like one big release like every 6 months, so you could sit there and do that. And now it's like you got this huge influx, and it's partly that, you know, oh no, poor me, my job makes me review all this stuff. But at the same time, like, I'm not able to fully, to me, fully enjoy all of these games because there are so many. Like, but I know, like, I shit talk Destiny, and that's mainly because of Blake. He makes it so easy. His fanboyism just makes it, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to bad mouth it because I just want to throttle you every time I hear you get into the upper pitch about, oh my god, this is the best game ever. And it's really that way with him about anything. I do want to try it. I do want to see what the big deal is, and I just honestly do not have the time. Because I have to do so much else, and I'm like, well, I want to finish Dragon Age Inquisition. I want to actually play The Witcher. I do want to do Final Fantasy 14. I have both of the games. God damn it, I want to play them. I've spent my own money on this. This is ridiculous. And then I look into the fall, and then I want to cry because I see Fallout 4 and Tomb Raider, and because that's gonna be another open world game. Because the first one was, well, the reboot was, and you know, we got the Uncharted collection, and I'm just not going to be able, I want to try out Just Cause 3 because I heard Just Cause 2 was so much fun, but I can't fit it in. And that's going to be another massive open world. Something I heard about from Matt was that he only got up to 80% completion and he played it for 80 hours.
Yeah. You know, you did make a good point, is that this is pretty much a reactionary thing, right? I mean, you have a couple open world games come out and people love them because it's something different. And if you look at the development cycle, it's not like they can just go, oh, well, let's just turn this out next week and we'll see what happens next. Maybe they'll like it, maybe they won't. I mean, games are now at like at least AAA games where there's a lot of production value in it. We're talking 4 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm. At least.
So, you know, we're going to be going through this because everybody and their brother was like, oh, open world games. That's where to go. That's why we saw, I mean, the motion control stuff, that was, yeah, there's a lot of junk in there. So that was kind of more like the, here, it's a year later, we're going to embrace the Kinect or the PlayStation ice cream stick, whatever the hell that was called again.
Oh, the Move?
Yeah, that. I mean, look, those all faded into existence. I think we got another 2 years or so of open world games, and then we're going to move on to something different.
Oh, it's called VR.
Yeah, right. With that awesome time photo where we're all like in our awesome 3D glasses. Yeah, no. I'm waiting. VR could be cool until people start realizing that it's probably going to give them headaches. They're probably going to get sick. It's not something that we should all be jumping on right away until they kind of work the kinks out.
But I'm more worried about eyes because 3D bothers my eyes and gives me a splitting headache. So I don't want this thing in my face. And I guess for me, I don't really care to be that immersed in something. I think the closest I would want to is my coworker Vince sent me this link to this really awesome PC setup where like these monitors, they go all around like this and they curve. There's like four of them and they're all 4K. And then so they connect together. And this guy was playing Elite Dangerous on this. And I was like, okay, I could see that because at least then this, you got, you're kind of in it, but it's not like up in your face and you can still like be part of the world and look around and see other things going on in your life.
Yeah. It'll be, the VR thing's going to be pretty interesting to see how this all starts playing out. And let's not forget, it's in development, so there's a lot of stuff coming out, and it's going to be the open world in probably 5 to 6 years. It'll be VR this, VR that, mm-hmm. once it's established. Once it's established, then you got 5 to 6 years from that point where it'll be VR this, VR that.
As long as stuff has VR support and it's not required, I'll be cool with it.
And I think that's where the Microsoft HoloLens is good because it's glasses, and to me, that whole being...
But that's not VR. That's augmented reality.
Right, but being like this and you can't see anything, I don't know. But yeah. This is a topic for another day. So, Carrie, what have you been playing?
I played Vanishing of Ethan Carter this week, but we're going to talk about that more tomorrow night because that's our book of the month.
Let's hit on it just a little bit while Chris is still sober.
Okay, I can't say
great detail.
I was not expecting some of the horror elements to it, I guess, because I almost rage quit the game 20 minutes in because I had two massive jump scares. I was like, there's a third one. I am done with this. Fuck this game. And I haven't had one since. So, now that I've gotten more into the story, it's really, really good. I'm mad at myself for not playing it sooner. And I actually am going to put this on the list of games I'm going to platinum whenever I get time, which is a big fat joke. But I want to, I know I've missed a lot of stuff because I didn't know what I was doing at first. And
really, because I played through it, finished the game. I looked, I saw that I was missing one trophy. I knew exactly where to go. Got that trophy and I was done.
I like the first murder. Mm-hmm. I didn't solve that because I was focusing on moving forward to explore, and then I realized I'd already passed everything. Now that I know like how to solve those, I was like, oh, everything is in that area, and I didn't want to go back. So I don't know. I think playing it again might be kind of interesting because now that you know more what's going on, it might.
There's also a trophy for doing some stuff at the very beginning before you even start.
Yes, yes. Because I actually pulled up a trophy list because, you know, everything is hidden. Just because I was just curious. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, right. Unfortunately, because I just kind of started playing it this week, I'm kind of forced myself to burn through it. So I know I've missed a lot of stuff. But this is because I loved Murder Soul Suspect. I am digging this.
Yeah. This was really... I very much enjoyed this game, and I didn't mean to make it sound like in our emails that I was like, and I wasted $20 on this. No, because if you saw when I started playing that game on my Facebook feed, it was nothing but screenshots. I was doing share. It was just like, not only was like the gameplay mechanic was really, I very much enjoyed that. The whole, you know, find the clues, solve the, you know, put the clues together for that murder. Watch the murder play out, get some more of the story, try to figure out how this is all interconnecting with each other. And then at the very end, you're like, oh, okay, I understand it now.
Just for that, you would love the Sherlock Holmes game that I played last year. Because you do that. You find the clues, and then you have to piece together how it happened.
Yeah. And even for somebody who was still drinking at that point, I was like, holy shit. And I would actually, this was like one of the few times that I ever sat there, and I would walk around the scene and be like, okay, so the person has a rock. There's no rock. That's where the rock came from. Okay. Now wait, which way are they looking? Way are they facing? Yeah. I love that. But the thing that really caught me off guard is just how beautiful the game is.
Oh my god,
yes. Just constant, like the lighting effects, and it's not all like, it's all nice and colorful, but it's not that overly colorful, like it wouldn't be a real world. It was just like, this is a town in the fall, here's all the beautiful colors,
and it's beautiful grown. It's the woods. This is what you would find in the woods.
I think that made the whole exploration part so much better, because you're just like, okay, oh wait, look at that. Oh, yeah. Look at this vista. Oh, check that out. And it was just, oh, man, I just couldn't stop taking screenshots. I was just like, this is so good.
No, I totally see why, especially when I came up on top of this cliff. I looked over to my right, and I saw that the way that they had the sun glaring on the water, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's.
Yeah, it was so good.
That's amazing.
The only gripe that I would really say is, I know where the $20 went into constructing that world. I mean, let's face it, there's not a lot of game mechanics to it, but you know, in that world, you can beat the game, and I think it's like two and a half hours, I think. So it's not a very long game, but that like the immersion and the experience, I was just like,
he says that, and I am about over 4 hours in, and I'm not done, because that's just how much I've been. At first, I was like moving through it, and now I'm kind of taking my time and trying to find stuff. Yeah. But
maybe it took me three. I forget.
Let's I think fix. That from I was, what, from what I, was, I saw online, it's like you can speed run it in two. If you're a completionist and like do all the, you explore every single area and do everything in one playthrough, can take you five.
Yeah, I think to me, there were two parts of it that I could definitely see where it would be, and that's the House of Portals. I can definitely see where...
That's where I decided to go back and do that, and I think that's another reason why it's taking me a little longer. It's because I went... Because like I'm already through the mine, and then I decided to go back and do that. And now that I... Because I looked at the trophy list, and like, oh, that's just a trophy. I don't have to do that to follow the game. I need to go back and then go through it again. But yeah, the House of the Portals, it took me a while to figure out exactly what it was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It did, yeah. That was the one that took me a little bit of time, because it was like, okay, what the hell? And I walked out of it and then continued to explore, and then all suddenly I was like, oh, okay, this is how this is working. And then if you've been having a drink or two, it takes it even, you know, it challenges you even more, because you're like, oh yeah, okay, this is how you build the House of Portals. And you have to to me, it's still something that I still have installed on my PS4, just because I'm like, you know, I may not actually play the entire game again, because let's face it, this is one of those games where after you play it and you do everything in it, there's not a whole lot of replay value. Right. But going back in just to see that world, man, so worth it. Mm-hmm. Best part is that when I went to buy it, I was debating between the PS4 and Steam, and I eventually was just like, you're going to have it'll probably be a lot more entertaining if I just play it on the PS4, because I can just play it with a controller and keep doing what I'm doing. But in the back of my head, I was going, you know, this is going to go on sale on Steam as soon as you do this. You know it is. Fuck it. Just buy it. Sure shit, that weekend, it was weekend Steam sale for $12. Just like, oh, you can't win. But it was well worth it. I mean, when I walked away, I was like, that was definitely worth the $20. I can see where some people would be upset with it, because they probably just were like, okay, I'm just going to go to the next area and do whatever. I walked around and just kind of explored and just got involved in the world and just took it all in. And to me, I was just like...
Well, after the very beginning, I was so afraid of springing traps that I just was going very slowly through everything. So,
but like you said, I wanted to talk about it now, because I know tomorrow we're doing this, the Book of the Month, a little bit later, and I know how I am, so I'll be a bumbling fool. Well, so.
Don't want to say much more about that, but I've been playing, you know, some more Halo Master Chief Collection. Drew and I started Halo 2 last week. That was a lot of fun, because he did not know that you played as the Arbiter, so that was a big surprise for him. He's really enjoyed, you know, because every time the cutscenes, like, I can't talk through them because I've never seen them before, so he's just really engrossed into it. And we're having a lot of fun. Tonight is Halo night, because I'm home alone this week. I don't know what time I'll be able to play, and I still got my Mad Max review, but anyway. And then I've been playing, like, a whole lot of Mad Max, and I had to finally stop doing the open world stuff and push myself through the game more so I can write a review. But, oh, I am so, like, and as much as I know I have other things to do, I am completing this game. This will be one of the few open world games, like, I'm going to go back to it and, you know, clear out everything, because I really want to. The sad thing is, like, I almost kind of want to help these people that are in this horrible situation. And, you know, like, if I build up these different strongholds, I mean, at least they are standing up against Scrotus and the War Boys, and they're helping others that are coming in, even though everybody is very mistrustful of everybody. And I go in to help, and they're like, you know, I basically save this woman's life. She's like, she's the leader of this one gang. I save her life. She's like, why should I not kill you right now? I was like, because I saved your ass? I mean, is that your response to everything? I'm just going to go kill you? Cause just, I guess, because if you can kill me, you can take my car and get scrap, because that's pretty much what everybody does. That's pretty much why the only reason why I blow up cars is, well, one, I blow up other cars because that means that they can't, War Boys can't come back and claim them, but also because if you blow them up, then you get all this pretty scrap, which is pretty much the currency in the world. And that's how you get Mad Max's abilities. That's how you level up his car, and you build scrap. You can build up the strongholds, and then every time you go into the stronghold, you'll get something. Like, I've built up this one stronghold enough. Every single time I go visit, my car gets full of gas, and all my weapons are restocked. Because weapons are probably the most precious commodity out there. I can never find enough shotgun shells. So I just have to learn, like, okay, you just don't get to use your shotgun very, very much. You have to be really good with your fists, or really good at, you know, car combat, which I'm slowly getting better at. But
I think I saw Mike Dineen say that he liked that aspect of, like, the ammo was so low.
Yeah.
He accidentally shot his pistol and he got pissed because he's like, damn it, there was a bullet.
I know. That's exactly how I felt, because I've accidentally shot one. I was like, no, don't give it. No, I didn't mean to do that. I meant to shoot the harpoon up. But, ah, fuck. Now where am I going to find another shotgun round? Because let's go back to my stronghold and I'll get replenished. But god damn it. Or the time that I leave the stronghold and I realize that I'm like half dead and I forgot to refill water. Where is the closest area of water? There's not any shit.
But in the movie, they just let that shit run out of the tank or right on the ground because, you know, water.
Well, I actually found an area that, like, I'm blowing up this oil pump and the pump is actually standing in water. I was like, why is there nobody down here? Collecting all this water and, like, you know, sifting it through like a sieve so they get all the sand out. I mean, what the hell?
Oh, video game logic.
So yeah. I mean, I still say you would love this game. Love it.
Yeah, it's on my radar. As soon as money fills my bank account again, I think it. And I'm not on the road. So.
No, that's. That's how all I've been doing. Hopefully I will finish Ethan Carter my first time playing through today, and then I'll go back through the trophies. Maybe I can do that this weekend.
Nice. Let's see. I've also played Vanishing Ethan Carter, obviously. We'll talk about that more in depth tomorrow. Well, I'll ramble and produce incoherent sentences about it tomorrow. I played more for Forza Horizon 2. I finished the main campaign. I don't even know if you can call it that. But I'm like 17% complete. So I'm actually just going back to previous stages and racing it, because that you can do different types of races. So, like, when I first did it, I think I did it with my a Ford Focus RS. So I just did, like, that. It's a hot hatch, a current hot hatch category. So now I'm going back to do the four wheeling stuff. So it's like right now I'm using a Ford Raptor to go through and do the modern one, and then there's like a go through and do an old four-wheel one, and they have, you know, supercars and hypercars and classics and American classics and American muscle, and so there's still a lot to do. Still finding little XP boards. They kind of make you, they push you to join like a clan of sorts, so I just found they have a nice little clan browser, so I just picked one. And I'm making my way. There's another thing. Like, I want to get more XP so that way I can rise up through the clan ranks. Not that I think a whole lot of people are playing, but there are people that still play. So, yeah, I'm still very much enjoying that. I think, to me, this was like the perfect blend of arcade racer